What's going on? This is Jordan Rakai, and you're listening to Dan Diggs.
Interviews with artists before they go on stage at the world's most iconic venues. This is Backstage with Dan Diggs. Backstage with Dan Diggs.
Hey, man, thanks so much for doing this.
Man, no worries.
Yeah, so hang on, we're going upstairs to the balcony of Masonic Lodge. yeah, man, let's get it going. I think this works, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Cool. Well, hey, first of all, man, thanks so much for doing this. Really appreciate it, man. How are you feeling for tonight?
I'm excited, man. Our favorite show we've played, like this couple of us that have come here before, was Troubadour 2 years ago in LA.
Yeah, I was there.
And it was just something about LA, like people in America are more, I don't know, more hype, more like outspoken. They're like cheering right when stuff's happening. So really like interactive crowd. So we're looking forward to it. And it's also nice to play new music. So it's going to be a nice mix of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And for people that don't know, maybe for people that are like listening to this on the radio and can't see it. So where exactly like are we? Can you explain the scene of what we're seeing?
So we're in a venue in the middle of a cemetery.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Which is nuts.
And it's this beautiful, it sort of seems like an old ballroom / theater / interesting vibe.
Right.
But it's amazing. It's amazing. It really feels really warm.
Right.
And we're sitting on a balcony overlooking like the mosh pit beneath.
Yeah. And it will turn into that later on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost, I'm seeing, it's almost like a Harry Potter, Hogwarts, everyone arrives.
Yeah.
You know?
The dinner room.
Yeah. I'm sure some owls will turn up later, but we've got some like chandeliers going on, and yeah, man, this is beautiful. Have you played like any other really unique venues like this?
No. Usually, I mean, because I was still like up and coming for a long time, I still am.
Yeah.
I'm playing like small clubs and pubs, and I'm playing amazing bigger theatres in London, but everywhere else it's still very much like clubs and pubs. So I played Shepherd's Bush Empire, which is beautiful, and Coco, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
That's awesome, man. Well, I'm looking forward to it tonight. I've been rinsing this new album, Origin. I want to get to all that. And, you know, your upcoming tour as well. But I've got to ask you too, man. I mean, I saw some controversial statements on Twitter about Pho versus ramen.
Hey,
let's talk about that.
This is big. Just to me, there's no doubt that Vietnamese takes because it's light, it's nice,
yeah, not too heavy.
It's funny, they're compared a lot with each other because they're like the bowl based broth dish that everyone has. But I'm a Pho fan.
Is that because I know obviously in LA and on the west coast it's Pho everywhere, but like in London where you're based now, is that part of the
it's
wave?
Big. And when I grew up in Brisbane, Brisbane, Australia, it's a big scene out there. Lots of Vietnamese, Chinese, Japanese people in Australia.
Nice.
So yeah,
I was in Seattle for a hot minute living up there, and I feel like with your Pho restaurants, you always have to have a strong pun associated with it.
Yeah.
So there's like, what the Pho? Like, the Pho King. I just wondered if you come across that sort of malarkey.
No, we haven't had that yet.
Hey, there's a business opportunity there in LA, I think.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. And also saw on Twitter as well that like, you've been getting some pretty high profile fans, man. I mean, yeah. Sir Elton.
Yeah, I know.
Just weighing in.
I know, crazy. I mean, I just watched the movie recently, Rocket Man. And I was like, yeah, cool. And then my friend told me that I was on, and then he tweeted me, and I was like, this is intense, this is crazy.
Wow.
This feels surreal that he even likes the music enough to play it.
That's incredible, man. I mean, what a legend. Have there been any other, like, just those moments as you're sort of journeying with this music that you just, like, have to sort of pinch yourself?
I mean,
I feel the Elton moment's a pinch-yourself moment.
I've had Quincy Jones.
Wow.
And obviously he produced all the classic albums, which I'm inspired by.
Yeah.
I've had, I think, Herbie Hancock. Do the old nice work sort of thing.
Right.
But they, I mean, other than those two, you can't really get any better than those two. So,
yeah.
Nile Rodgers.
Right.
Yeah, it's intense. And they talk to me as if You know, they're just talking to me as if like I'm on their level, which I'm not.
But I think you are, though.
You're a talented cat, man. Yeah, but it's sick.
That's awesome, man. I was going to say, is there, you know, speaking of like those legends and those heroes, going back to when you first started and even sort of like your earliest musical memories and sort of growing up and getting into music, because you've lived in Brisbane and in London, but you're originally from New Zealand, is that right?
That's right, yeah. Okay. I'm born in New Zealand, yeah. Moved to Brisbane at a young age.
Okay.
And then have stayed in London since.
Oh, wow. Okay. Whereabouts in New Zealand?
Hamilton.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I was born in Auckland originally.
Oh, sick.
So, nice. Yeah. Were you there in Hamilton a long time?
I was there only 4 years.
Okay.
And then stayed in Brisbane up until 21. But every year, we'd go back and visit the grandparents.
Right.
So, and all my friends and my family friends in Australia are Kiwi. So,
yeah.
I still am very much Kiwi. Orient family orientated.
Yeah, part of the whanau.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. And I also saw that you covered Fat Freddy's, Black Bears.
Yeah, I mean, Fat Freddy's, like Dallas or Joe Dookie, as he's known as.
Right.
Easily my biggest influence.
Wow.
Vocally. And then what was amazing was I heard him have on an interview somewhere talking about his biggest influence, which was Bill Withers. And then from there, I everyone knows Bill Withers, like Lovely Day and stuff, but I went and checked like the real, like the earlier stuff. And man, I can hear myself through Bill Withers indirectly via Fat Freddy's.
Wow.
Which is amazing. And then I discovered a whole new artist I can like tap into. So they're amazing.
Incredible, man. Well, hey, should we play like a Bill Withers track now? Is there one particular that you just have to do? Or I know it's like picking your favorite child, but
I know everyone sort of, this is sort of a cop-out, but I love the track Harlem on his first album. It's just constantly, like, chord-changing, and his attitude, like, his voice is so bluesy and, like, really soulful. So that's the tune I'll choose.
Harlem. Yeah, let's do that right now. It's Jordan Rakai. We're talking backstage at Masonic Lodge, Hollywood Forever in L.A. That's such a strong tune, man. I feel like, I can see that the influence of Joe Dookie. I've also heard you being referred to as the Kiwi D'Angelo
by Loyal Kana.
Yeah.
It's funny, my first album dropped like 3 years ago. He said like he called me the White D'Angelo back then, and now I got the Kiwi D'Angelo. But yeah, it's sick. I mean, D'Angelo, again, another
right.
one of the big influences.
Right, it's a good look, man. I'm all speaking of making music, though, I'm also like a huge fan of your side projects too, because like your Dan Kai for Rhythm Section,
yeah,
that output, getting a little bit housey with it,
dance music vibes.
Yeah.
Basically, that was born out of me. I know the guy that runs the label, Bradley Zero, and he was like, Jordan, man, do you have any like unreleased stuff I can play on my radio shows, like any exclusives? I was like, man, I don't, but I'll make you a beat. So like that day, I just made him a beat and sent it.
What sort of vibe are you going for when you made that first beat?
Well, he was like, you know, do you have anything upbeat? And I was just like, I don't. My music's like boring and sad and emotional. So I was like, I'll make you a fun beat, man. I'll just put it together like in the next hour or so. Anyway, I did it really quickly, sent it to him, and he was just like, dude, if you could give me four of these, I'll release your first EP.
Wow.
And that first song I made was Igo,
okay.
I-G-O, which is one of the tracks on the first EP.
Yeah.
And then the next three tracks I made were the tracks that, so I didn't, there was no cutting. Like I just made fresh tracks with I'm not experienced in dance music.
Wow.
So that's why it's quite different. It's like more fresh and, because it's coming from like my singer-songwriter vibe. So
right.
Yeah, that's how I was born.
That's amazing, man. Cause I was really into it. Is it Changes?
Yeah.
On that? Which is really good. And then another one of your side projects, and I just want to ask you about this because it was fairly anonymous, but do you also go by the name of Frank Lynn?
Yes, mate. I thought so. I like to, yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
I like to, basically, when I was making my earlier music, like first EP, second EP.
Because it was Franklin's Room, right?
Yeah, Franklin's Room. It was very like groove-based stuff.
Right.
And I wanted to, my sound was like hip-hop reggae, but my favorite artist was like Radiohead, Jeff Buckley.
Wow.
And I wanted to like have an outlet for that sound and really weird it up, really alternative, really like strange beats. So I started making that. But then funnily enough, it's sort of made its way into the Jordan sound now. Like some Jordan music
yeah.
is quite dark, emotional, melancholy. And that's the Franklin influence, because I explored it, and then I was like, hey, this is actually more me. I need to try and get this sound into the Jordan thing. So yeah. That's why I have been pretty inactive on the Franklin thing, because it's sort of like we've morphed into this Jordan Lynn hybrid.
Yeah, man. But that track, Before I Go to Sleep,
yeah,
that's a tune.
Mate, yeah. That's deep. That's one of my favorite tunes I've made.
And it's so good.
And I'm trying to write like another album.
Right.
I'm always trying to write new stuff, and I want to somehow get that into a Jordan tune and try and make it like fit the. Yeah.
That's incredible, man. Because I feel like there's that house excursion with Dan Kai, and sort of, you know, just being logical about this, is there like the complete opposite of that, where you're going to take the first two syllables of your name, like Jor-Ra or something, and do some like ambient burial stuff or something?
I mean, there's another side project.
Okay. What is it?
It starts with K. It's called Qualia. And I collaborated with my friend who originally wrote strings on one of my first album songs.
Who's your friend?
Richard Melkonian.
Okay.
And he's a composer, arranger, string arranger. And it's basically like modern classical soul. It doesn't really sound like Jordan or Frank or Dan.
Right.
So it's orchestral, really, really long songs, moving parts, different sections, lots of strings like bass, clarinet, lots of that sort of thing. So, it's totally different, and it's probably one of my favorite stuff as well. Sort of like Franklin, like quite obscure, very left. So that's another one to explore.
Amazing, man. Well, hey, why don't we let's go to a song right now, because I think that people have to hear what Franklin is all about. Do you have a particular one? I mean, I know I love Before I Go to Sleep, but do you have one that you'd like to play?
Yeah, I love a track called Wet Washing. Franklin is like, lyrically, it's super strange.
That's quite an evocative title. What's the story behind Wet Washing?
Mate, but all my Franklin songs, because there's no judgment, I'm not trying to like release it for anyone else, just for me.
Right.
Lyrically, they mean they're as literal as it gets. People think it's like super deep, but I'm talking about hanging up my washing, and it's wet, and I'm standing outside, it's hot sun, blah blah, hanging up my washing today. Cool. But anyway, that's what it's about. But I just love the wonky beat and. Yeah, that tune I made like 4 years. That's crazy that you brought it up. That's cool that you know it.
That's awesome, man. Let's have some Wet Washing with Franklin, a.k.a. Jordan Rakai. And we're back here at the Masonic Lodge at Hollywood Forever, one of just the best venues in LA, even though it's an embarrassment of riches when it comes to amazing venues in LA, with Jordan Rakai. Man, so excited for this latest album. I love all these different, you know, monikers and names we're talking about. I did see as well, though, that, like, weren't you going after some MPC business on Twitter? So are you going to get, do like a boom bap sort of record? Or?
Well, MPC is how I started.
Okay.
When I was 11, I watched a video on YouTube, and was YouTube around then? Maybe it was like LimeWire or something.
Okay, yeah.
I showed my dad, and I was like, look at this guy, he's like chopping up samples and he's drumming with his fingers.
Do you know who it was, or just some
it was no, it was a YouTube, it was a tutorial beat thing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And then he was like, cool, let's get one right now today. And we drove out to like this really far away music shop that sold one.
This is in Brisbane?
Bought a brand new one, yeah. Wow. And that's how I started making beats, like sampling, recording into the MPC, repitching it, all that stuff. And then when I started going, I was like 18. So like 7 years I was on the MPC. And then when I was 18, I moved onto like the computer and started recording into the computer. But so I want to like rediscover, I reckon I still have all the muscle memory.
Of course,
of all the tricks and that sort of thing. But
yeah.
Using the MPC, but using it with a crunchy sound, but not necessarily hip hop, like speeding it up like 140 BPM and having it looped with real live drums and having like a sort of like Radiohead have like programmed drums, but at the same time they have heavy live drums. So having that world would be cool.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. And I mean, just bringing it back to London for a second, I know that like, I mean, man, that is a hotbed of creativity. We've had Tom Misch on the show before. I know that I've been loving the recent output from like, Alpha Miss, Barney Artist. I mean, it must feel really good to be a part of that whole scene.
It's
and
so
crew.
Good. It's so good. We always like text each other. We're those four people you mentioned, including me, we're in this like podcast where we like talk as
friends. Tom talks about it.
It's called Are We Live?
Right.
And we recorded one recently. It's going to be out soon. And we just sit around talking about our experiences. But it was so interesting to listen back to the first few episodes, which we did 4 years ago, where Alpha's like, I'm trying to work on my debut album. Tom's like, I've never played a live show before. Barney's, you know, he's talking about struggling to write lyrics. And now, I mean, Alpha's selling loads and loads of vinyl.
Right.
Tom's turned into the the superstar he is.
That's crazy.
And we've all gone off, and it's really cool listening back and seeing the journey of where we come. We talk about our experiences in the industry, and we learn a lot from each other, definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. It's really cool to see this sort of like Fellowship of the Ring almost, this gathering, you know what I mean? And just like, but it's all, I feel like the roots of it all are kind of, they're London, right? But then you're all like got, you know, your own singular things that you're doing.
Definitely. I feel like we have a, in a way, we have a similar sound, but in another way, the sounds couldn't be more different. So like, Alpha's dark jazz, instrumental music, Barney's vibey hip-hop, my stuff's singer-songwritery, electronic, and Tom's is like super funky, you know, guitar-based. Like, we are all really different music, so, but there is that character of, I don't know, London in the sound that cuts through.
Yeah. What do you think you like best about London? What do you think is like the best thing about being there?
Just people trying to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, you're chatting to someone, he's like, yeah, I'm trying to write an orchestral piece for this small short film I'm doing. This other guy's like, yeah, I've just started trying to be a yoga teacher. I don't know, there's so many people trying to do things.
Yeah.
Sort of like LA.
Right.
LA,
it reminds me a lot about that.
LA and New York, but it's inspiring every day. You meet people, they're trying, so you're like, shit, I need to do something with my life, my sound, my development as a person.
Yeah. On that note too, do you have any sort of like side quest? Does Jordan Rakai want to like be a film director or like do something? Or like,
mate, I know I'm bad now, but I always say the joke, like, Hugh Jackman never could act one day, but now he can.
So right.
He just started, and then he learned, and he got lessons, but I would love to do some sort of, be a frontman in a musical theatre.
Wow, really? Theatre?
Because on the stage and in studio, I'm very much in my space, and, like, people, when they see me play, I close my eyes. I don't interact as much as, like, Anderson .Paak, for example, who's, like, a showman.
Sure.
I'm sort of in my world. But theatre forces you to like be that person, and it would be, it's funny, like I moved to London to get rid of to try and like cure some of the social awkwardness and anxiety. Like, you have to meet new people, you have to like go out.
Sure.
Same thing with like theatre. I reckon it would teach me stage presence and like acting and singing for long extended periods, so that'd be cool. And golf, maybe being a professional golfer
as well. Out of nowhere. Yeah. Really, you played golf a long time?
I played a lot when I was young.
Really? Yeah.
I brought my clubs over recently from Brisbane, so I want to try and get back into it.
Nice. Have you hit the links in London then?
No, I haven't. Not yet.
Okay.
Just out of London.
Yeah. What I want to do, I love it. Like, when you go on tour, though, you should kind of, you know, pack a 7-iron. Don't know if customs would be okay with that, but like, I feel like places in Japan where, like, they've got driving ranges on the top of buildings.
Yeah.
You ever done anything like that?
No, I haven't. I haven't. But it's a good idea. Bring a putter around, just use a hotel room, practice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a nice felt down here on the carpet. That'd be awesome, man. So, hey, I know you got to go. There's a queue of people outside that are really excited to see you, which is awesome to see. I just wanted to, like, just talk to me a little bit about this latest album, Origin, because, you know, man, like, it's so strong, man. And thank you for blessing us with this. And it must feel so good to have it out in the world.
It feels great. It's so different. I really felt confident in the sound. In my last few releases, I used to overthink it all and worry about what other people would think. And I was like, should I put this synth in, or what would X person think of me writing this chorus like that? But with this process, I was just, you know, I trusted my gut and the subconscious like expression. You know, if a vocal melody came out and it sounded slightly accessible and poppy, like, I didn't judge it. I was like, cool. I mean, it came out of me. Let's commit to it.
So
a lot of the album is like very bright and colorful sonically. And I'm really happy with how it sounds, yeah.
Amazing, man. And it was also like, I saw you talking about how there's this sort of influence of like, sort of, you know, AI and the rise of the robots and all that.
It's true.
Tell me what was going on there?
I sort of call it like a lyrical concept album. Like, all my albums have been like themes. But this theme is about like me outwardly predicting a world in which like technology becomes hyper-intelligent. It runs society in a way. Like, artificial intelligence could like be a governing system with no morals. It just is like, this is right, this is wrong.
Right.
There's no like human element, where sometimes humans make wrong decisions, but at least there's ethics and morals there. Well, ideally.
Yeah.
And so it talks about that. Like, each song is set in this futuristic world in which like a different way in which technology can have effect, sort of like Black Mirror. So yeah, it's a cool like exploration lyrically that I've never done before, but I had a lot of, it's sort of like a sci-fi soul album.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Well, that comes across, man, especially even like the cover art too. Yeah, like it has that vibe.
Super weird cover. Yeah. Like basically it's a picture of a picture from the 1960 Olympics of a diver emerging.
No way.
And the designer, the graphic designer, Nick, sort of put morphed the picture, you know, he's coming out of water, like emerging from what I sort of, the theme of it is like, the album's called Origin, and you know, I would say I'm a humanist in where I believe like we have come from the journey of evolution, and like they say humans, originally all animals came from the sea,
right?
So it's like that the origin of our species has come from this arc. Wow. And so it's talking about like this human emerging is sort of like this story of us coming to life. And
yeah.
Can we like remembering who we were and what our species used to be?
Wow, man. Deep. Quite deep. You want to get David Attenborough on this one?
Yeah. How, narrate each album.
Yeah, yeah. How amazing would that be, man? That's incredible.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Do you have a, I mean, I have to say, because we've been heavily spinning Say Something. Love that. But do you know what my personal favorite though is Mantra, the album Closer?
Yeah.
Because that's a vibe.
That's my favorite tune as
really?
Well. Really? Yeah, definitely.
Why is it your favorite?
Because it was, I originally had written it to be the opening track.
Really?
Of the album.
Okay. Yeah.
And because of the long intro, and I wanted it to be like a story about, because there's lots of players on it. There's like sax, bass, clarinet, vocalists, drum, percussion, all that stuff. And I wanted it to sort of be like, hey, these are all the humans interacting with each other. Look what we can make.
Mm.
Versus, you know, technology these days is very rigid and like, you know, it doesn't involve any human elements. So it's really, sounds really organic. It's really open. And lyrically, it's about like the positivity in dystopian visions versus like the rest of the album is very like dark and pessimistic about how technology is going to affect us, but
right.
This one's sort of like, don't worry, be positive, everyone's coming together, like all these instruments are coming together and we're all like vibing to try and end it.
Yeah, and what is exactly the mantra then?
Well, the mantra, so it's sort of like a play on the theme of mantra. Mantra is like in meditation you repeat like of mantra, and it's used as a device to like calm the mind,
right?
But mantra in this sense, it's more like affirmations. All the lyrics are phrases that this character is repeating to themselves in this crazy world to remind themselves, like a lyric is like, I believe in love, I believe in humanity, I believe in our history, I believe in something special. And you're constantly, this character sort of reiterating, like, it's all okay. The internal dialogue is like these mantras, like each of the lyrics. So the second verse is repeated of the first, but it's like a higher octave. And I wanted to reiterate, like, he's repeating these same lyrics again.
Mm.
Like, the process of repeating these affirmations can hopefully help him deal with this chaos.
Yeah, wow. So at least the album's ending, like, on a high note of positivity,
positive,
right?
Optimistic.
Yeah. Does Jordan Rakai have a personal mantra that you might intone at various times?
No, I constantly try and be aware and try and be as present as possible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I meditate a lot and that helps, but other than that, no, I just try and be, I sort of try and remind myself if I'm drifting or if drifting off in thought or if someone's talking to me or if I'm making a song, try and be like involved in that moment as much as possible, and that sort of helps me get through things.
Yeah, strong, man. I mean, for this track, I think we should just close the chat maybe by playing Mantra. Does that sound good? And I got to say, if you're listening right now, these piano chords, man, it's that really got me though.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's almost like Kid A-ish in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's really like open sounding. I wanted it to be like, the song basically has this like really open harmony where nothing is, you don't really know what the chords are. It's like, it's like one chord for a lot and then it's moving. But I really just wanted it to be like this like meditative pulse and the chords are sprinkling around on the outside to create this like nice soft palette. But yeah, that's one of my favorite songs I've made, I think.
Amazing, man. Well, let's
other than the Franklin banger.
Yeah, that's right. Watch out for those. And the whole ambient project, Jorah, whatever it ends up being, you know.
Jorah,
what I mean?
Exactly.
But hey, man. Well, let's finish by playing Mantra. Jordan, thanks so much, man. It's been a pleasure talking with
mate,
you.
Thanks so much for having me, man.
Yeah. And this is, you know, we're on Dublab here. So next time you're in LA, yeah, man, you're welcome anytime.
Yeah.
We'll do it again.
Sick. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Back soon.
For sure, man. All right. Have a good show, dude.
You too, man. Thanks for having me.
That was awesome, mate.
No
thanks
worries,
so much.
Thank
yeah. Such a good chat, dude.
Yeah,
it was great.
Man. It was nice.
Yeah.
It's always nice to talk about the music.